Without question, the most overlooked but vital aspect of any Civil War figure is health. How good or bad a general felt certainly affected his performance in the field. Every knowledgeable student of the Army of Northern Virginia knows that the heart condition of General R.E. Lee and the kidney problems of General A.P. Hill noticeably impaired their leadership in the last half of the war. Two other Southern commanders suffered heavily from wounds and sickness. Nathan Bedford Forrest was surely the finest cavalryman in the Western theater. The Tennessean personally killed more enemy soldiers in close combat than did any other general officer in that conflict. Yet before the war, Forrest had struggled with typhoid fever, dysentery, a bullet wound in a street fight, and a shoulder contusion from an accident. Forrest entered Confederate service as a private and rose eventually to the rank of lieutenant general, and this despite a total lack of formal military training. In the course of the war, Forrest had 5 accidents while on horseback. A cannonball once passed between his legs and through his mount. War wounds began with a bullet that entered his hip and lodged against the spine. It was removed without anesthesia. Another bullet in the hip bounced off the pelvic bone and passed through his body without touching any vital organ. A 3rd battle injury came when Forrest was shot in the foot. A 4th wound was a series of saber cuts about the head and shoulders in one of the last actions of the war. Meanwhile, and throughout the conflict, the general suffered agony from balls. Forrest never fully recovered his strength or was free from pain. For 10 years after the war, he slowly lost weight, battled chronic diarrhea, and likely contracted diabetes. When Forrest died in 1877, the famous and in many ways incomparable cavalry leader weighed no more than 100 pounds. He had spent a lifetime with pain. A lesser-known general, likewise incapacitated by poor health, was Francis R. T. Nichols. Born in Louisiana, an 1855 graduate of West Point, Nichols served in the Army only a year before resigning because of gastrointestinal problems. In 1861, he entered the Confederate Army and soon was second in command of the 8th Louisiana Infantry. Persistent headaches often deterred him from duty, but not from gaining promotion to brigadier general. At the 1862 Battle of Winchester, Virginia, a bullet shattered Nichols's left elbow and led to his capture. 6 days later, Union surgeons amputated his arm. Nichols received a drink of whiskey as anesthesia. He rejoined his command in time to participate in the 1863 Battle of Chancellorsville. There, a shell fragment struck his left ankle and knocked him senseless. Nichols awakened on the battlefield that night. When he reached for his foot, he discovered that it was gone. The piece of shrapnel had torn it from his leg. Nichols used a crutch with his one arm while performing desk duties for the remainder of the war. He then hobbled home to Louisiana, but his public career was far from over. In 1876, Louisiana Democrats announced that, to be governor of the state, they were nominating, quote, all that is left of General Nichols. The old warrior won by a landslide, gained a second term easily, and then became a justice of the state Supreme Court. Nichols resigned from the bench in 1912 because of failing health. A few weeks later, he died of a heart attack. Nichols was 78. This son of Louisiana demonstrated for all to see that he was a man who would not let crippling impairments block him from making high marks in life.